Somebody told me recently, Lichvoid Nachum, have you ever heard of Sharansky, Natan Sharansky?
Yes, of course.
Natan Sharansky was a very famous Russian prisoner for many, many years. And then he was released after years and years in jail and came to this country and became a very prominent politician. So he said, the difference between me and other politicians, he says, the difference is I was in jail before I became a politician. Okay, back to our Gemara. So we saw in Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph a very, very big discussion. When a Bas Kohen marries a non-Kohen, to an extent, we are considering that she is profaned from her kahuna. She's not allowed to eat truma. So we distinguished yesterday, if you remember, we said if she marries somebody that she's not allowed to marry, for example, she marries a mamzer or a goy, then she's profaned from truma forever. She can never eat truma ever again. Never eat truma ever again. If, however, she marries somebody for whom it's permitted for her to get married, i.e., a Yisrael or a Levi, then she's not profaned forever, but at least while she's married to him. But if the husband now departs from the scene, he dies. If the woman doesn't have any children, so she's no longer bound, as it were, to that husband, so she goes back to her father's home and she once again can eat truma. Now, why were we discussing this? Let's not forget the Cheshbon. Because the Gemara says that I needed a pasuk to teach me that a bas kohen will get sreifa even if she marries a non-kohen. Now, why do I need a pasuk for that? Why would I have thought that if she marries a non-kohen, the halachas of sreifa should not apply? So we said yesterday, because the Torah says, ki seichel liznos, the znos was mechalel her. Therefore, if she's married a non-kohen, she was already nischala. She was already nischala. So the znus, as it were, did not profane her. Rather, by virtue of the fact that she married a non-kohen, she was already partially profaned in that she cannot eat truma. So therefore, I would have been excused for thinking that's not subject to the parasha of Sreifa. And that's why I need a pasuk to say, well, actually, she is subject to the parasha of Sreifa and she gets Sreifa. That's where we left off with yesterday. So the last thing we saw, and we're going to see this again, is that Reb Meir actually holds, if you remember, the general halacha is if somebody eats truma, they have to pay a keren v'chomesh. Not only do they have to pay the capital, they have to pay a penalty fee of an extra fifth. But Reb Meir's opinion is that if a bas kohen marries a levi or a yisrael, then she does not have to pay that penalty fifth. Even though technically it's true she's not allowed to eat truma, but she's not completely detached from truma. The proof is, as mentioned, if the husband dies and she has no children, she'll go back to eating truma once again. So let's have a look. The first word on the line is komashmalon.
Just a quick question on that. I mean, it's not necessarily relevant, but if the woman has a child and the child dies, can she go back and eat truma or?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Yeah, no, it is relevant. Definitely more than swimming pools and mishkafayim.
Thank you.
Okay, have a look at the Gemara. Kamashmalon is the first word on the line. Says the Gemara, Udaloi Karebi Meha. Datanya, what does it say in the Braisa? Bas Koyein Shenissus Li Yisrael. A bas kohen who's married to a Yisrael, so she's not allowed to eat truma. So what happens if she did? V'ochlo truma, and she ate truma. Meshalemes es ha-keren. She will pay the keren, but ve'eino meshalemes es ha-chomesh. But she will not pay that extra penalty of the extra fifth. Umisoso b'sreifa. If she commits znus, then she will get sreifa. Nisus le'echod min ha'psulim. If, however, she marries one of the people that she's possible to marry, right, a goy, a mums, etc., then mishalemes keren v'chomesh. She will pay the keren, she will pay the chomesh, umisasa Why is her misa now only bechenek? Divrei Rabbi Meir. We'll see in a moment. The Chachamim, no. Chachamim say we disagree. Zu v'zu. In either case, mishalmois keren v'chomesh v'loy chomesh. She always pays the keren. She never pays the chomesh. Umisason b'sreifa. So let's go in reverse order. According to the Chachamim, what are the Chachamim saying? The Chachamim are saying that she never pays the chomesh. What does that mean? She never pays the chomesh. That's another way of saying that she's not stripped of her status of a kohen. It's true. She's not allowed to marry at the moment. She's not allowed to eat at the moment truma. But she remains forever a bas kohen. And therefore, if she commits zinus, she'll jolly well get strafer. Reb Meir disagrees. Reb Meir says that if she marries somebody that she's not allowed to marry, well, then she's off. That's it. Finished. She's completely stripped of her kohen status. So it'll give her a chumrah and a kula. On the one hand, the chumrah, she'll have to pay the keren and the chomesh, like a regular non-kohen. But it'll give her a kula, she won't get srefa. Why will she not get srefa? Because we don't consider her anymore to be a kohen. If she marries a Yisrael, well, then she is still a kohen. Therefore, she'll have to pay the keren, but not the chomesh. But she'll get srefa because she's still a kohen. So again, we said before that the Torah writes an extra pasuk to teach me that even if she marries a Yisrael or a Levi, whoever she might marry, she still gets srefa because I would have thought, based on logic, she should not get srefa. And what is the Torah telling me? The Torah is telling me that Kamash Malon, she does get srefa, irrespective of whom she marries, to which the Gemara is now pointing out that does not fit in with Rameh. Because according to Reb Meir, she does not get srefa, at least in the case when she married somebody whom she was possible to marry. So everything we've said until now, what did we say till now? That the pasuk is teaching me that even if she married, whether it's a non-kohen or a goy or a mamza or a challah, whoever it may be, she always gets srefa by virtue of the fact that she is a bas kohen and will forever remain so. Says the Gemara, okay, that's fine, but that does not fit in with Reb Meir. Because according to Reb Meir, at least in the case where she married somebody possible, she's no longer considered to be a kohenes. It's true, of course, biologically she's a bas kohen, but we don't treat her as such. And that's why she will not get the misa of a bas kohen, she'll get the misa of a chenek. Have a look at Rashi quickly. Udaloi Rabbi Meir on the seventh line. Ha de Omron Le'el. That which we said before that Bas Koyin Hanasua Lamamza, comma. We said before that a Bas Koyin is married to a Mamza. Bikdushasa Kayemes. She still remains Bikdusha. Vernidonis b'sreifa, comma, and that's why she'll be judged b'sreifa. Well, that is deloi k'Rabbi Meir. Why? What did Rameh say? Zar. With regard to a zar means a non-koyein, ikachi of keren v'chomesh. They have to pay both the capital and a penalty fifth. But in this particular case, Meshalames es ha-keren. Why? The kiven deloi zochi lo rachmona begavo, comma. Because the Torah has not given her that zechus to eat truma. Therefore, it's gezeila here. So it's like she stole. So she has to pay the penalty. But she does not have to pay the chomesh. Here come the critical words. Delav zorah he. She's not a zara. She's not a non-kohen. Why she can't eat trum at the moment? It's only temporary. Because she is potentially capable of going back in Yomus Bailo if her husband dies, Vizera in law, and there's no children. If, however, and therefore she's considered still a bas kohen, therefore misasa b'sreifa im zinso if she commits zinus. But nisus le'echad min apsulim, says Rameh. But if she marries one of the psulim, what does that mean, one of the psulim? Shenifsela ad oilom, where she becomes posel now forever, v'nischalalo, and she becomes profaned. Here come the main words now. Harehi kezoro gemuro. If it's only temporary, then you're right. If it's only temporary, then she remains a kohen or kehenes, so she's not considered to be a zara. That's why she does not pay the chomesh, and that's why she gets sreifa, she commits zinus. But if the chilul is permanent, what does that mean? It's permanent. She married somebody whom it was osa to marry. She married a mamza, for example, and she becomes profaned from truma forever. So Remeya's tremendous chiddush is that what? If she becomes profaned forever, well, then she has been stripped utterly and totally and completely of her Kohen status, and she's now considered a Zar. So therefore, she will not pay a Chomesh, but she will pay a Chomesh, but she will not get Sreifa. Why will she not get Sreifa? It's true, biologically, she's a daughter of a Kohen, but a daughter of a Kohen will only get Sreifa as long as she retains the status of Kohenes. So we need two checks of the box. We need her, number one, to be the daughter of a Kohen, not the wife of a Kohen or the son of a Kohen. It's got to be the daughter of a Kohen, but she also has to have Kedusha. It's only if you check both boxes, she's the daughter of a Kohen and she has the Kedusha of a Kohen, then and only then, if she commits zinus, she'll get sreifa. But according to Reb Meir, when a bas kohen marries a mamza, for example, she no longer has kedusha. She doesn't have a kedusha. We don't treat her a kehenes at all. She pays keren v'chomesh. Well, then she will not get sreifa. Why will she not get sreifa? She's a bas kohen. It's true. She's a bas kohen, but she doesn't have the kedusha of a kohen. So if we said in the beginning of the sugya that a bas kohen, irrespective of whom she marries, always gets sreifa, that does not fit in with Rameya. Who does it fit in with? It fits in with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that whoever she marries makes no difference. She always gets sreifa because she's a bas kohen. So it turns out, in summary, we have a colossal machlokes over here between Chachamim and Rameya. Does it suffice the mere fact that this woman is a bas kohen? According to the Rabbanon, the Chachamim, yes, it suffices. If she's a bas kohen, she will forever remain a bas kohen. We do not care who she marries, whether she marries a kohen or a Levi or a Yisrael or a mamzer or a goy, all irrelevant. She forever remains a bas kohen, and a bas kohen gets sreifa for znus. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two is Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, no, it depends. It's not simply true to say that whoever's a bas kohen gets sreifa. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because if she's being profaned from her kuna, how are you profaned from your kuna? By marrying a mamza. So she has to pay a keren v'chomesh. Well, then she's no longer a kehenes, and she will not get sreifa. So if we said before that she does get Srefa, that only follows the Chachamim, does not go with Rameh. Yes.
If a Bas Kohen marries a apostle and then he dies, is she
Yes.
allowed to marry a Kohen?
No. She's profane forever.
I don't know if I'm remembering properly, but I thought that the reason, one of the reasons that the Abbas Kohen, who's an Arusa, gets a punishment is because there's a busha on the house. There's a busha on her father. So
Right.
even a question, even in the case of Reb Meir, where he says she's stripped of her Kohen status, it's still a reflection on that house.
That's the hashkafa, but the halacha is we're only concerned with the embarrassment to the house if she's still connected to the house. If she's been stripped of her kohuna, of her kedusha, she's not connected to the house.
So
So whether
she can't marry a brother. It's still a karov. I mean, not stripped of. I mean, you're still connected to the house.
not, she's got no kedushas kohuna. She's got no kedusha of a kohuna at all. The proof is. If she eats truma, she pays a keren v'chagnesh akon shomea. Yes, biologically, she's a daughter of a kohen. Yes, it's a busha to the home, but she's not connected to that home because akon shomea, you're only connected if you have kedusha of a kohen. She has been stripped of that kedusha. Okay, so far we saw two opinions. Now we're going to see a rather complicated third opinion. Or to put it more accurately, it's not so complicated, it's just very unclear what he meant, which is not the same thing.
By the way, Rabbi, as an answer to Nachum rather, it's possible that a Bas Kohen who marries apostle is already a status of a busha. So it's not like it's that if she's has this other problem, she now brought further embarrassment onto our father's house. She's already a total embarrassment to our father. She's a Bas Kohen that married a mar so why would you punish her twice?
Yeah, we don't need to come on to that. The bottom line is, we only punish her if she's got Kedusha. She has no Kedusha, she's not subject to this parasha. Okay, now there was a third opinion, and the third opinion is extremely unclear what he meant. And the Gemara has numerous attempts to try and understand what was he referring to. We've dealt with the opinion of the Chachamim and with Remeir, says the Gemara. Reb Elazar Omer. Now look at the words of Reb Elazar, very unclear. Reb Elazar Omer es aviha b'sreifa v'es chameha b'skila. So let's just translate. Her father, Srefa, her father-in-law, Skila. Now, what on earth is that referring to? Clearly, or at least it sounds like, we're discussing who did she commit Znus with? We've discussed this in the past. If she commits Znus with her own father, etc., etc. Is that what Reb Elazar is saying? Says the Gemara. Let's try and work this out. My, what does it mean? Es aviha es chomeha, quote unquote. What do those words mean? What did you mean, Reb Elazar, when you said if it's her father, sreifa, father-in-law, skila? What does that mean? Eilema, if you're going to tell me this is attempt. Unsuccessful attempt. Number one, Ilema es aviha means me aviha. Es aviha means her father. Maybe you mean from her father. In other words, she had relations with her father. And the es chomeha would mean me chomeha. Is that what you meant to say? Is that what Reb Elazar was trying to machadish? That Moirai v'Raboisai. If a Bas Kohen commits znus with her father, it's sreifa. With her father-in-law, it's skila. Is that what you meant to say? I'm sorry, that can't be. Why? Because my area Bas Kohen. Because if that were to be the case, why are you talking about a Bas Kohen? Afilu Bas Yisrael Nami. Even if it's a regular Bas Yisrael, it's the same halacha. that bitoy b'sreifa, for father and daughter have relations, it's sreifa. The kalosoi b'skila, if it's a father-in-law and daughter-in-law, it's a skila. So if you're discussing whom did she have znus with, the father or the father-in-law, well, that can't be what Rabbi Elazar meant, because then why is he talking about a bas kohen? Even a regular bas Yisrael, if she commits znus with her own father, it's sreifa. Father-in-law, skila. So why is he talking about a bas kohen? Have a look at Rashi. May oviyah shezinsa may oviyah. Kalosay beskila, that's a mission, daf nun gimel. So we have not yet worked out what did Rabbi Elazar mean by these very cryptic words of oviyah bestreifa chomea beskila. Yes.
Did the Torah hold people to punishments before the actual Matan Torah? Because my question would be on Yehuda, why he wasn't Chayav Skila with Tamar.
It was. Tamar is a very complicated Pasha, Tamar, and Tamar was a Bas Kohen, and that's why essentially she was sentenced to Sreifa, but it's extremely complicated because what does that mean, a Bas Kohen? There was no Kohen before Matan Torah, and some say they had a status of a Goy. Anyway, very, very complicated. Okay, let's leave that aside. So we're still trying to work out Rabbi Elazar's opinion. What does Rabbi Elazar mean?
One follow, a quick follow question on that. A Bas Kohen can become a Yavama?
A Yavama? What do you mean, Yavama?
Well, Tamar died without kids, and then she got passed on to
Yeah, he could, yeah,
Yehuda's
because
other
he.
sons.
What's the problem?
So
Why
how
not?
did she?
You
Because I
can't
thought
marry the
once
a Kohen can
you.
marry a widow.
A Kohen can marry a widow, only a Kohen Gadol cannot.
Oh, I thought it can't. Okay, my
But
bad. How
Rebbe,
did Tamar marry a Grusha?
she should have been Chayav Skila, not Sreifa. It was her
Grusha,
father-in-law.
right. Complicated case because they
Not
didn't
Sreifa.
know.
It wasn't Sreifa. It was Skila.
They didn't know it was a father. Very, very complicated. Very, very complicated. I used to give a shiur in the Gra Shul. I think Rabbi Yehuda David used to be there on
Oh,
Friday
boy.
mornings. Friday morning shiur. Rabbi Yosef used to be there, I think. I once gave a shiur on this subject. Okay, back to our subject. Do any of you know? I think I once mentioned this in the past. Rabbi Eliyahu David definitely knows Rabbi Michoel Fletcher, who I'm sure you know very well.
Yes, indeed.
And Rabbi Yosef knows him too. Rabbi
Yeah, I
Michoel
got you.
Fletcher, a gentleman who lives in Ramah Aleph, gentleman Talmud Chacham, in his mid-70s, I believe. And he used to be a Rav in Scotland. I think that was his first rabbinic position. Then he went to Holland and other places. And I think I once mentioned this. He told me that one of his first ever issues in the shul was there was a very prominent member of the shul. Remember Birkas Kohanim? They only do three times a year on Yom Tov. And he went up to do Birkas Kohanim. And Rabbi Fletcher, this junior Rav, said, "I forbid you to do Birkas Kohanim. You're a Kohen, but you're married to a divorcee. And if you're married to a divorcee, you don't do Birkas Kohanim." And he flatly refused to obey the Rav. Rabbi Fletcher ordered him to come down from Aron HaKodesh. "You have no right to do Birkas Kohanim, not allowed to do Birkas Kohanim, not in my shul." And he refused. In public, he did Birkas Kohanim. I think it was either the next day or 2 days later, he dropped dead. So don't start out with Rabbi Fletcher.
Don't trifle with Ralph Fletcher.
Don't trifle with Rabbi Fletcher. I'll call upon him. So a kohen is allowed to marry an almona is not allowed to marry a grusha. A kohen gadol cannot marry. So you're quite right. A kohen gadol does not do yibum. I'll call upon him back to our subject. So we don't know what did Rabbi Elazar mean when he spoke about aviha and chameha. So now comes the second attempt. Elo. Maybe you meant elo es aviha, quote unquote, means birushus aviha. What does Birshus Aviha mean? That's another way of saying she's an Arusa. The Es Chomeho, quote unquote, means Birshus Chomeho. In other words, she's an Asua. Okay, so now let's replace those words. When you said Es Aviha, we're suggesting Es Aviha is just a fancy way of saying that she's still connected to her father's Rishus. She's an Arusa. So you're saying an Arusa gets Sreifa. And an Asua gets Skila. Now, which opinion could that follow? We know two opinions. We know the opinion of Reb Shimon, and we know the opinion of the Rabbonim. So let's work this out. A bas koyin, according to this interpretation, we're differentiating between an arusa and an asua. Now, does anybody remember? I hope everybody does. According to Reb Shimon, a bas koyin gets sreifa for both arusa and an asua. Remember, he said the Torah does not differentiate, so it's all the same. Well, then Reb Elazar cannot possibly fit in with Reb Shimon's opinion. Why are you differentiating between an arusa and an asua when, according to Reb Shimon, she always gets sreifa? So the only thing left now is to go to the Rabbanon. But if you remember, the Rabbanon, albeit, yes, they did differentiate between an arusa and an asua, but what do they say? An arusa gets skila, and an asua gets sreifa. And yet, Reb Elazar here was saying the exact opposite. Reb Elazar was saying that if she's in her father's home, she's an arusa, she gets sreifa. And otherwise, she gets skila. Well, that doesn't fit in with anybody. That's the Gemara's question, says the Gemara. I don't understand. A one-word question on the first word on the line. Come on. Which opinion is this? I'm sorry. Ikar Rabbonon. If you follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, remember, said Ha'omrit, Nesua yotzes v'loy arusa. It's the Nesua who gets sreifa, not the arusa. So why are you telling me that when she's in her father's home, she's in an arusa, she gets sreifa? That doesn't fit in with the Rabbanon. And Ikar of Shimon, or Reb Shimon says, Ha'omah achas arusa v'achas Nesua always gets sreifa. They both get sreifa, so it can't fit in with that either. There's actually a third opinion which we haven't discussed. The Gemara mentions now. V'ikar Rabbi Shmuel says something different. Ha'oma arusas yoytze l'sreifa, but v'loy nesua. Eschomeho chenekhu. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not sreifa skila. It's Sreifa Chenek. So, according to the Rabbanon, it's Skila Sreifa. It's Skila Sreifa. And according to Reb Shimon, it's Sreifa for both an Arusa and also an Asua. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's Sreifa and Chenek. So, none of those opinions fit in with the opinion that we just mentioned. Look at Rashi. If you go with the opinion of Rabbanon that skila is chamura, it should be the other way around. Because according to them, an arusa is more chamur. According to them, nesua, she gets upgraded from chenek to sreifa, but arusa skila. And Arusa doesn't go from Skila to Sreifa, and Arusa remains at Skila. The Ikar Reb Shimon, the Islay Sreifa Chamura Miskila, he holds that Sreifa is the worst punishment. Then Ha'omras Achas Arusa V'Achas Nesua Yatsu L'Sreifa. Then it's always Sreifa. The Ikar Reb Shmuel, Ha'od Omar Sreifa Chamura Ikar Reb Shmuel, he also says that Domla Kama B'Shmeitza Arusa Yatsu Sreifa, but V'Loi Nesua. The Yalef Lomi Binyanav, the Arusa Kosumadaba, he learns that the Pasuk is only talking about Arusa, only an Arusa gets Sreifa, but Chamiel gets Chenek. Kedim Bas Yisrael, Dolo Yotzes Mechalala. So it turns out there is not a single opinion that we've ever heard that says that an Arusa gets Sreifa and an Asua gets Skila. There's no such opinion. Sreifa Skila? Sreifa Skila? We've had Skila Sreifa, we've had Sreifa Sreifa, we've had Sreifa Chenek, but nobody holds that an Arusa gets Sreifa and Asua gets Skila. So therefore, we're very stuck. So we'll have to hold it over here. Rav Larry, you wanted to say something?
Now, I just wanted to go back and say something to Nachum regarding the Tamar story. The reason also, to, according to your question, Yehuda's sons were not Kohanim. So your question would be if she was, if there's the Yibum by a Kohen, are they, what is a Kohen allowed to marry? Yehuda's sons were Yehuda, they were Yisrael's. They weren't
Correct.
Kohanim.
100%. Tamar.
Tamar was a Bas Kohen. But they're allowed to marry whoever they want.
Correct. She's not marrying, she's not doing Yibum to her brothers, she's doing it to her husband's brothers. And Yehuda was not a Kohen. Like I mentioned, it's an extremely complicated topic. Whenever we talk about the halachas prior to Matan Torah, there's always much discussion. How do we view the Ovos prior to Matan Torah? We know the Ovos kept Torah, that the Gemara said. But did they have the status of a Jew? Did they have the status of a non-Jew? Did they have the status of both? Very complicated.
Well, it's the whole issue with Yaakov and the two sisters.
Right, that's the Ramban's question. Yeah, very good question. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to carry on tomorrow. By the way, just to give you the heads up, I'm Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach flying to England tomorrow afternoon just for a day and a half. So there will not be Shir on Wednesday morning, Mitzvah Hashem, but tomorrow morning, Keragil.